Money, Riches, and Wealth is sponsored by the Financial Consulate.
Say you don't need no diamond rings, and I'll be satisfied. Tell me that you want the kind of things the money just can't buy. I don't care too much for money. Money can buy me love.
This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for Money, Riches, and Wealth. Here's your host, Drew Tignanelli.
This is Drew Tignanelli here with Money, Riches, and Wealth, and I'm with Michael P. McCarthy here.
Good evening,
Michael.
Everyone.
How are you?
I'm doing great. It's weather's turning back around to summer again.
Well, that's good to hear. And we're on an open show tonight, Mikey, so we're going to take our listeners' calls, and we're going to answer their questions. And so, you know, what they think is important, that's what we think is important.
It's their show.
It's their show, and their show to get to ask questions tonight, and we'll be here to answer it, and it doesn't matter the topic. Estate planning, elder care, investments, 401ks, IRAs, Roths, trusts, you know, insurances, auto, home, life, long-term care, you name it, we'll talk about it and help you with that issue, because that's what we're here to demonstrate, what a true professional financial advisor is supposed to do, not just invest money. Too often, Mikey, you know, people are just, you know, taking their money and investing it and making people feel that they're doing something special for them. And usually they're not. There's the money that they're making for them is nothing special that they couldn't made on their own, or they couldn't have another advisor do. But what you really need to do is you need to do that tax planning, you need to do that estate planning, you need to understand insurances, you need to help them sort through the maze of personal finances and come to the conclusions that are best for them, helping them to make the best decisions. That's what we try to demonstrate on this show tonight, to help people understand what a true professional financial advisor does. So if you want to call and ask your question, 410-922-6680. And Mikey is giving away a Ferrari to the person who can stump us with a question. And well, it's coming out of his personal net worth tonight.
Yeah, well, there's going to be a disclosure later on back on that one. But hey, you know, Drew, we've actually got our first caller already. It's Bob in Columbia. Hey, Bob, how are you?
Hey,
yeah, Bob.
How you doing?
Good. You're going for a Ferrari. Go ahead. See if you can get the Ferrari, sir.
Okay. I got some concerns. I think I see inflation on the horizon. And being newly retired, I have a lot of fears. Any suggestions on investments?
Well, I think that I think that it's wise to know that there is a potential for inflation on the horizon. But, you know, as history has always proven, the absolute best investment in inflation is the stock market. I mean, think about it. What is inflation? It's when the price of goods and services are rising. Well, who charges those higher goods and services? It's the companies in the stock market. Now, not every company has pricing power to push through in the stock market when inflation is rising. But what you're looking for is somebody who invests in companies that have that pricing power, and that's what you have to look for. The stock market has always proven to be the best investment against inflation, not gold. That's a bunch of baloney. I don't know whoever came up with that concept that gold is an inflation hedge, because, you know, between the year 1980 and 2000, the inflation rate averaged 3-4%, and gold lost 50-60% of its value during that 20-year period. So what kind of inflation hedge was that, you know? I think you could argue that gold is an inflation hedge if you give it 50 or 60 years, but I don't think we have that kind of time to sit around and wait 50 or 60 years.
Well, and the inflation we've seen has been very segmented, wouldn't you say, Drew?
I think you have seen a lot of segmented inflation, because not everything's inflating. Not all service costs are inflating. Those are the least inflating. I think it's been reserved to things like the construction industry big time, and a lot of specific commodities. But so did you have anything else on that, Bob?
No, I feel better. I feel better now. But with all the government, money they're giving out, trillion. Now they want $1 trillion. They passed bills for trillions of dollars now instead of billions.
I understand. But, you know, go look at Japan, okay? Japan has been in a deflationary cycle for 30-some years now. And all the money that they've created, you know, Japan borrows 50% of its budget every year. The United States only borrows about 10 to 15% of its budget in the course of a year. The Japanese run 250% debt to GDP. The United States only runs about 100-110%, depending on what numbers you want to look at, whether you want to include the Social Security bonds into the equation or not. I know that government is borrowing a lot of money, but that can be as deflationary as it can be inflationary, And I don't agree. I don't agree with government spending the kind of money they do. Government is a negative throttle on the economy because they inefficiently use money. In other words, they take it out. I mean, just look at all the stimulus they did in the last year. You could probably point to a whole bunch of people that were greatly benefited and tell some really sobbing stories about how the stimulus money helped these people. But I can assure you, for every one of those, there's probably one or more people who just sucked that money up and sat there and laughed and said, man, I'm getting what from the federal government? So anyway.
Yeah, I know some of those people. I know.
I know a lot of them, too. Anyway, good call, Bob.
Thank you very much.
All right.
So, Drew, as you can see, we've got callers on the line. We've only got a little bit of time left before we're going to go to traffic. Call early. Do you want to take the call?
You got to ask Chris. He's the man, not me. I mean, I wished I was the man.
All right. Well, so we're going to get to those callers after we go to traffic. But this is our best kind of show, isn't it, Drew? When we get all the lines covered, we got one line open. So if you call in, you'll be next after we come for break. And we really hope that everybody who's on the line now is Rebecca and Lee. We hope you guys stay with us until we get back.
Hi, this is Drew Tignanelli of the Financial Consulate, saying a financial advisor must have a tax planning passion. I'm appealing only to those with a net worth of more than $5 million or with taxable income of over $400,000. You are the target for higher and higher taxes. If you're in this elite club, you can no longer afford to have a financial advisor that is not passionate to minimize taxes. I'm appealing to you with income over $400,000 or a net worth greater than $5 million because you are the target and need the Financial Consulate's passion to minimize income taxes and estate taxes. Call to set up your introductory meeting, 410-823-7283 or 410-823-SAVE or online, financialconsulate.com. If your taxable income is $400,000 or more, or your net worth is over $5 million, you are the target. So call to begin your tax plan, 410-823-7283, or online, financialconsulate.com.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
We're back, Money, Riches, and Wealth, and Michael P. McCarthy with me tonight. We're on an open show. We got callers, so let's rip through them, Mikey. Go ahead.
Rebecca in PA. Rebecca, how can we help you?
Yeah, hi. First of all, you're absolutely right about the stock market, because I had to do a paper when I was like 17 about the Depression, and when you think about that and how much the stock market has gone up, I mean, you have to understand that you are totally right about that. That if you're going to have like some kind of like safety in your money, if you're not on margin or anything, you're going to make out okay. And the other reason I called was this cryptocurrency. It's like based on nothing. I mean, I could be selling daft. I think it was like the bulbs like in Holland that like were like crazy. I mean,
well, you want to hear something even crazier? There are people that buy real estate, virtual real estate.
Yes,
for millions of dollars. There are people that are buying what do they call them, Mikey?
Well, did you hear about the news on the non-transferable things?
Non-ferrous tokens, non-fungible
tokens. That one that went for the hundreds of millions of dollars, it turned out it was a fraudulent investment scheme.
Okay, just to interrupt you guys, because I know you've got a lot of callers. I remember also the Maryland Bank scandal where, like, you know, they had these banks that were, like, you know, they thought they were, like, backed by Maryland and they weren't. I want to ask you something. This is my real question. Why isn't the government stepping in and, like, saying something about this?
There's nothing to say about it. I mean, there is some legitimacy to the cryptocurrency. I mean, I can understand why there are certain people, like, for example, criminals love the cryptocurrency because...
Well, then they should stop it. It's probably behind...
But, you know, the criminals love cash. Cash was their currency of choice before cryptocurrencies, and they never stopped cash. So why should they stop cryptocurrency, you know? So
it's not traceable.
I understand. That's why they love it so much. And there is the risk. That is one of the big risks of cryptocurrencies, is that one good day government just steps in and says, nope, not allowed to do it anymore. Not in our country. Get rid of it, you know, et cetera. So it is a risk. But, you know, I don't think government should step in and stop it. I think people should just realize that you're buying nothing, like you said. Anyway, good question, Rebecca. Thank you. Always.
All right, Drew, so we've got one caller left in, so we should make sure everybody knows to call. It's 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680. We don't have any callers left after this, so let's go directly to Lee in Towson. Lee in Towson, how can we help you?
I have a couple of questions about IRAs and 401ks. For 2020, was there a was a mandatory withdrawal suspended, or was that 2019?
2020, it was suspended. No required minimum distribution.
Okay. My wife doesn't work, but I'm working. I'm understanding that she can have an IRA. Is that correct?
Well, how much money did you make?
Six figures.
Okay, well then yes, then both of you can do a Roth IRA or a traditional IRA for both you or her, depending on what your income was and depending on whether you have a pension plan or don't have a pension plan where you work and all that kind of good stuff. But yes, well, your income qualifies her.
If I have a pension plan, but she doesn't, she'd be clear for sure.
Sort of. Okay, so the answer is that she can do a Roth or a traditional as long as your income is below $196,000 for 2020, $198,000 for 2021. If your income's over that, she starts getting phased out. Once she goes over 206 or 208, she cannot do either, even though she doesn't have a pension plan like you do.
Okay. Now, the money she puts in, the principal, does she have to leave it there for 5 years before
she... Has she ever done a Roth IRA before, my friend?
No. I'm talking about Roth, yeah.
So that rule is only applicable to Roth, and that's only for the growth earnings and dividends that she would make. So any earnings, income, dividends, growth would need to be there for 5 years from the date you establish your first Roth IRA account. And I always recommend my clients to establish a Roth because you can always convert $100 from a traditional IRA into a Roth to get it started. But if you can contribute for it, you ought to do it.
Okay. All right. Thanks very much.
All right, sir. Good question.
Bye-bye.
No callers online. We're looking for callers. If you want to call in and ask a question, we're on an open show tonight, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680. We started out with a burst, and now we've gone into a lull. So if you want to call in, now's the time to get on, 410-922-6680. You know, we didn't address with Lee that even if somebody's income is well over that $206,000, if you have a good CPA, Mikey, you can figure out how to get around that.
Yep, there's some moves. And especially, you know, I was expecting you to talk to Lee about the fact that since he's still working, does he have an IRA separate and has he rolled it to his 401k?
Yeah, well, we didn't know how old he was. So why don't you tell everyone about that? You got plenty of time, and let's tell our listeners, call in while we're doing that, 410-922-6680. But go ahead, share that strategy, Mike.
Yeah, so once you get to your RMD age or you start approaching your RMD age, you may have an opportunity available to you as long as you're working for somewhat of a sizable company, you know, not just yourself. Not just a sole employee company, and you've got a 401k there. If you roll that IRA up into that 401k, you can kind of dodge those RMDs for a few years. And that's the strategy we do with some clients, and people think we're crazy, right? Are other peers in the investment world?
Yeah, they're, you know, but it's the right thing to do, and that's the way you have to handle business when you run it as a fiduciary for the best interest of your clients. So Lee, who has an RMD, if he has other IRAs and he's working for a company with a 401k, he can roll all of his old IRAs into the new company he's working for and defer any RMD for himself until the day he retires. If he doesn't retire until he's 85, he will have no required minimum distributions. And that's really cool. We have a couple clients that have done this and, you know, well into their 80s. So,
well, we've got another caller online. We've got Jim in Elkridge. You got a stock question?
Yes. Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, Jim, what's up?
Oh, hi. I heard you made a statement earlier about stocks being the best investment historically, but you weren't too keen on gold. I've had pretty good luck with gold stocks. What's your opinion of gold stocks?
Well, gold stocks, you know, depending on what type of gold stocks you have, that's going to be the key. You know, gold stocks are operating companies. And so as long as they can continue to find gold at lower costs than what the price of gold is, you know, gold stock can be a relatively good investment, but they're very volatile. They're extremely volatile. And if you know how to trade them, like you seem to be saying you are, I can understand why you would like them.
I've had two I've held on to for about 6-7 years, and they've been both over 500% return.
Which two?
One is called Gold.
Okay.
Well, the other one, I don't recall the name, it's just off the top of my head because I haven't checked it in a while. But they tend to run opposite of, like, tech and consumer stocks. And when, you know, your consumer and tech are down, that tends to go up a little bit. I try to dollar cost average into them, but I've held them for over 6 years, and they've both gone up over 500%.
Yeah, well, 6 years ago or so, that was after the break of the gold market, and so you probably got in at a pretty good time right there. There's another one we've not owned for quite a while, but I've always watched it. Franco Nevada is an incredible company that and has an incredible track record. So anyway,
oh, cool.
Good question, my friend.
All right, thank you very much.
Thank
Have
you.
A great day.
You too. All right, we're going to keep moving through them. We've got Craig in Westminster. You got an RMD question?
Hi. Good evening.
Yeah.
I have a question about when to start. Should you start a half a year before you reach 72? Is that right?
So what are you talking about? If you were moving your money into an employer to stop from taking RMDs?
Oh, no. When are you required to start now?
So when you turn 72, the year
right.
You turn 72, and that's when you're required to start your distribution. Now, there's a bill in Congress that wants to raise that to 75.
Oh, okay.
And it's very, it's supported by both sides of the aisle. So who knows whether they'll do it or not, but it is there. But right now, the law is 72, Craig.
Okay. I heard somewhere that you should start a half a year before, like 71 and a half or something, so you don't have to make two payments or something.
Well, no, what they're talking about is, let's say I turn 72 this year in 2021, okay?
Right.
And if I waited, I could wait until April of 2022 in the very first year. I can wait. And if I do that, I have to take two in 2022. We normally recommend they just take it in 21, the year they turn 72. That's what they're referring to, my friend.
Okay, very good.
All right.
All right.
On an open show, Mikey, we got to go to traffic, 410-922-6680. Take it away, traffic.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
And we're back. Money, Riches, and Wealth. We're on an open show, 410-922-6680, if you want to call in and ask a question. 410-922-6680. I'm watching Mikey. I'm actually looking at Mike on a Zoom video. And he scares me up there sometimes, looking down on me.
We're still working out our hand signals. And I think everyone who's been listening since the beginning of the show realizes this is my first time doing the show with you in Florida. And the little choppy finger button was to let you know that Steve is still waiting in New Windsor. And I want you to answer his question.
I like Steve. We talk to Steve all the time. So go ahead and bring Steve up.
Steve in New Windsor, thanks for waiting. And how can we help?
I'm interested. I am a stock watcher. I have a small account that I control myself, and dividend aristocrats.
Right.
Those are the kind of stocks that I really like, but I'm not sure how much more I should put into that.
Well, the concept is interesting. Why don't you explain to the listeners what a dividend aristocrat is, or do you want me to do it?
No, it's a company that has raised their dividend every year for 20 years. I think there's only been one kicked out, and that was fairly recently. They raise their dividend every year. I mean, ExxonMobil, go on for the whole list. But and either a drip or a frip, what are the tax implications on that?
What do you mean the tax implications on what?
Drip investment.
You reinvest what you've that stock, or you freely invest it into other.
It's
other
irrelevant stocks. If you reinvest it, you're paying taxes on whatever you get in dividends every year. Is that what you're asking?
Yes.
Yeah. So you get $1,000 in dividends, you reinvest it in the same companies, or you reinvest it in a mutual fund or whatever, and you're still going to pay taxes on the $1,000.
Now, the one thing I'll give Steve on that is that if he's getting higher and higher bases on his drip purchases, assuming the stock's going up. So,
sure, he's continuing to buy more shares, so he's got more cost bases in the amount of shares he has. So if the stocks are going up, it's a good thing, but there's nothing wrong with the dividend aristocrat concept. There are times like in the last 2 or 3 years where they've underperformed. But they normally, like in the last 6 months, or 3 months, I should say, they've come roaring back, And, the only thing you're looking for is if you're buying them individually, you can pick and choose what you consider to be the best. If you're buying them in a mutual fund, you want to buy a mutual fund that is thoughtful about what companies, because I would not want to own Exxon and Mobil in my portfolio at all. I don't want to own any companies that have the crosshairs, as they say, of the federal government looking at them. And fossil fuel companies are like that. If you looked at our portfolios, I think our overall fossil fuel weighting is less than 1% in our entire portfolios.
Well, that was just an example. There are many, many.
Oh, I understand. We owned one. Yeah. I can't even remember what it was called.
I remember, but I'd rather forget.
I got to forget it. Mike's the compliance guy. I haven't owned it in a while, Mike. How come I can't talk about a company? How about if I say I didn't own it and there's a company out there that I've heard of?
Never one to follow the rules, my friend.
Anyway, we're on an open show. What else do you want to ask about that, Steve? It's a good idea. I certainly don't disagree with you on it there, my friend.
Well, I'm almost retired, and I'm just looking for the best return I can get.
If I were you, the only thing I would think about is making sure that I diversified between the U.S. aristocrats and the international aristocrats. And there's plenty of mutual funds that focus on international dividend aristocrats. So that's the only thing I would recommend. Do not put all your eggs in the U.S. basket.
Oh, I have several baskets. Thank
good. good point, my friend. Okay. Well, anyway, we're on an open show tonight, Mikey. We're 410-922-6680. If you want to call and ask a question, is anybody online?
Nobody online right now, but I think you and I were talking about just a little while ago current market conditions of supply and demand and what people should be thinking about.
Current market conditions about supply and demand. You're talking about inflation and so forth.
I'm talking about the kind of fear factor stuff going on with certain supplies of fuel and stuff like that.
People do that. They hear something on television and they're running out and they're buying toilet paper because they're afraid they're not going to have something, available to them. They hear that there was a cyber attack on a pipeline and they're running out, standing in line at a gas station thinking that. And, every time they've done that, it's always turned out that it was a foolish decision. Now, back in the 1970s, I remember when I was a first beginning driver you know, you had the oil embargo and so forth, and there were gas lines, and that was logical. This time, you know, people worried about gas right now. I have no idea what they're thinking about, you know?
Yeah. It reminds me of a funny story as we wait for our next caller to come up, that my mother, who passed in early 2020, God rest her soul, she left a legacy, Drew, because as you remember, she was a hoarder. And one of the things I had to move out of that retirement facility was like 1,000 rolls of paper towels and toilet paper. But I don't want to talk about that too much because we do have another caller. We have another caller getting ready to be ready. It's going to be Dave.
Just think, though, Mike, after she passed away, you could have stood on the street corner and made a lot of money with that.
I shared it around. I made sure everybody had a little bit. Everybody
gave
got a
it
square.
Away. You gave it away. That's ridiculous. Come on, Mike.
All right. Well, let's take no more time. Dave in Ellicott City, you want to talk about Maryland taxes. You got the right guy on the line.
Dave, how can we help you?
Hi, Drew. Hey, So when I was doing my taxes just this past year, I saw a line in the Maryland state tax that they tax your IRA withdrawals, but they don't tax your 401k withdrawals up to a certain amount. So what I was wondering is, since I'm still working, should I roll some of my IRAs I have into my company's 401k plan so that when I retire, I can get around that tax on my IRA?
So the way the law works is you get $31,000 basically. Let's just use that number, and it increases every year or so. And it's the take that $31,000 and subtract the amount of Social Security that you're going to get. And the difference is what you get as a deduction. So in other words, my Social Security check is going to be about $38,000, assuming I take it at my full retirement age, okay? So that $38,000 is far more than $31,000 or so. So even if I did take money out of a 401k, I'm not getting any further deduction, okay? So the point of the matter is if you think you're going to get more than 30-some thousand in Social Security, you are not going to get a deduction even if you do that. So I would not roll it to the 401k to try to take advantage of that unless I knew that my Social Security was going to be a lot less than 30-some thousand dollars a year.
Ah, okay, good. Thanks. Good.
You didn't think Maryland was going to give you anything really good, did you?
No.
I mean, were you living in fantasy land or something, Dave? Come on.
I was just trying to avoid paying the man if I could.
What you should do, Dave, is get on the first train to Florida and come meet me here, okay?
All right. I'll put my car in the auto train and I'll be down there.
All right. Take care, my friend.
Thank you.
So what are you doing, Mikey? You got anybody out there? You've encouraged anybody else to call in? 410-922-6680.
Yes, we do have one caller left. We've got Joseph. We're hoping that Joseph will wait, but let's take one more opportunity to go ahead and encourage everyone to call in, because after Joseph, it's your turn next.
410-922-6680. We'd love to talk to you after we talk to Joseph. Right now, I guess, Mikey, you got to go, don't you?
Yeah, take it away, traffic.
Hi, this is Drew Tignanelli of the Financial Consulate, saying a financial advisor must have a tax planning passion. I'm appealing only to those with a net worth of more than $5 million or with taxable income of over $400,000. You are the target for higher and higher taxes. If you're in this elite club, you can no longer afford to have a financial advisor that is not passionate to minimize taxes. I'm appealing to you with income over $400,000 or a net worth greater than $5 million because you are the target and need the Financial Consulate's passion to minimize income taxes and estate taxes. Call to set up your introductory meeting, 410-823-7283 or 410-823-SAVE, or online, financialconsulate.com. If your taxable income is $400,000 or more, or your net worth is over $5 million, you are the target. So call to begin your tax plan, 410-823-7283, or online, financialconsulate.com.
Now
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
All right, we're back with the circle and turn, turn, turn. I think Chris thinks he's got stumped me again, but he obviously he can't. Anyway, we're here on an open show, and we've got listeners online, and I got to put my glasses on. So I think it's Joseph, first.
Joseph in Linthicum, thank you very much for waiting. How can we help?
Hi. Drew, I don't have a question. I wanted to thank you. I think I've been listening to you, I guess, I don't know, 20 or 25 years, perhaps.
I'm only 30.
I've been, I guess, since the beginning. And from time to time, while I enjoy listening to you, every once in a while I get a good tip from you, and I investigate it independently. And I think I've made some money because of some of your advice.
Well, I appreciate that, Joseph. You know, what can we help you with tonight?
Well, you can't, unless you can make me younger, I've achieved all my financial goals. But, I just want to thank you, Drew. I hope you stay on for a long time. I always enjoy your show.
Well, I appreciate that, Joseph. Thank you.
Certainly.
We're going to Paul in Randallstown. Paul, how can we help you?
Yeah, your previous caller prompted me. You said Merrill's not going to give you anything. I had heard a rumor that Governor Hogan was giving a tax break to retirees, and I was wondering if you could tell us how that works. I think they're phasing it in over 4 years or something. Do you know anything about that?
I haven't heard much about it.
I saw a news flash on like one of the, you know, kind of more fringy, this isn't necessarily official yet things, but I didn't see anything into it yet. I think I just saw that this morning for the first time.
Is it actually passed?
No.
Oh, no. So it's just a thought.
I think it's just a suggestion. I mean, he's building up for his next campaign.
Yeah, his next campaign is president. That's a joke to some degree. But anyway, I wish him the best.
Yeah,
you
Paul,
know?
Unfortunately, I think that's rumor for now. I don't think we have much to share about it.
Okay. Yeah, because
conjecture, not rumor.
Because they really only passed laws in Maryland in the first, 3 months of the year or so, and then they all go away?
I thought this was actually a couple years back, but I guess
I think what you could be talking about, my friend, is you could be talking about how they're raising the standard deduction like $50 a year or something like that.
Okay, so there's no... And I guess it's less if you're on Social Security, too. The rate of taxation is lower for Social Security income than it is for regular earned income.
Well, Maryland doesn't tax Social Security at all. So we give them that credit, that if you get $40,000 in Social Security, and if you wait until you're 70, you're going to get 40-some thousand. They won't tax any of that. So that's a good thing. Not all states do that, but Maryland is one of the...
I think that must be what I was referring to, then.
But that's been Maryland law for who knows how long, so...
Okay.
All right?
Appreciate it.
You're out there dreaming with Dave that Maryland's giving you something, you know.
Well, you're right. Florida's got to be a lot better. I can agree with you there. So.
Let's go to our next caller. Good question there, Paul. Take care.
All right, we got Robert in Towson on the child tax credit.
Yeah, hi. I just want to get a little better understanding how this refundable child tax credit works. I got a daughter who's got a couple kids, and so she's not been able to work the last couple years, little kids, you know, that she's raising. And so she's had, like, no income. I've been helping her out. And I wasn't
so
sure
it depends on
the tax credit, not the EIT,
right.
But the other one.
Right.
Know?
It depends on how old the children are. How old are they typically?
Well, typically, in fact, they're like, one of them is 5 and one of them is 3.
One of them five. So the 5-year-old is going to be out of the extra credit, but the 3-year-old gets a $3,600 credit. I can't remember how much of that was refundable. I think they wanted most of it to be refundable, but I think it's only like $2,500 of it is refundable, because the way it's working is they're taking the current tax credit, which is like $2,000, and they're putting on top of it another $1,600. Okay. And so if I understand it correctly, you get the $1,400 refundable credit for the first $2,000 that you have. That's the one, that's the child tax credit that's already in place. And then you're going to get a new $1,600 on top of it, and it'll be refundable. But here's the interesting thing. They're going to give it to them monthly, okay? And as long as their income doesn't exceed, I think it's like for a single head of household, I think it's like $112,000. As long as it doesn't exceed that, then they get to keep it, even though they got it monthly well before they ever filed their tax return. The five-year-old is going to get $3,000, of which the portion of that would be, I think it's $2,400. So the first one's going to get like $3,000. The three-year-old gets $3,000. It's paid monthly. And then the other one gets like $2,400. That's paid monthly. That's what they're talking about doing. I haven't seen final rules on what they intend to do with that.
Now that's coming up, right? Now, what about last year, though? What about, you know, what's...
Last year is strictly the $2,000 credit. That's all. This new credit applies only to 2021. And it's a child tax credit, and you get it, you know, if you get it, and the refundable means you get it regardless what your income taxes are.
So if you have no earnings, like she had no earnings, and she wasn't even going to file a return, you know, because she had no earnings, but sounds like she ought to file one. Is that right?
Yeah, you always should file one, especially right now with all the stimulus money and so forth going around, you know? Hopefully she got all the stimulus money on all the kids.
I'm not sure about it, but I guess I got to... How much is that? I'll ask
her. Oh, man, the stimulus money for those kids and everything? Gosh, she would have gotten, I think in the first round, which would have been April of last year, she would have gotten about $2,200. The second round, she would have gotten about $1,800.
For her and the kids.
And this third round, she's going to get like, $5,200, right, Mike? 3,000, 1,400 times three, no, 4,200. Yeah. So it's a lot of money. So make sure she got it and make sure she files for that. Okay.
Wow. Okay. I don't think she's too up on this stuff, you know, and, So,
yeah, you want to make sure she files, and, you know, if she hasn't gotten it, she'll get all that money. And now maybe not all of it will come right this minute. She'll get a good portion of it for the first two stimulus checks. This third stimulus check, she's going to have to wait until September when they do the reanalysis, and they'll send the rest of it to her on that third one, okay? So make sure she files, my friend, okay?
Thank you.
All right.
All right, we're doing lightning round. Jillian in Pikesville. Jillian,
hey,
we gotcha.
Hi, Mike. Hi, Drew. A quick question.
Yeah.
I thought I was so smart contributing to my Roth IRA early in the year, only to find out that I could have gotten some money back from the government if I had filed, if I had contributed to my regular IRA. Is there any chance that I can...
You can recharacterize it. You've got four. Actually, if she extends her tax return, she can recharacterize it anytime between now and October 15th. So let me explain that. Let me ask you a couple questions. Are you working? Do you have a pension plan at your work?
No.
You do not have a pension plan at all at work?
No, nobody. Neither.
And you're not. And both you and your spouse, and neither one has a pension plan at work.
Correct.
So with the key to this, though, Jillian, just to make sure, is you look at your W-2s and there's a box 13 that says retirement plan. If there's an X in either of those boxes on your W-2, that's the key mark, okay? Whether you agree with that you have a pension plan or not, if they put an X in there, you better make sure you understand the rules when they say that, no, you do have a pension plan. So look on both your W-2s. If you don't have a plan, then I would suggest you go to your custodian as soon as possible and you tell them you want to recharacterize your Roth IRA to traditional IRA. And this is the only time you can do it is between the beginning of the year you're contributed for and before you file your tax return, either April 15th in this situation, May 17th, or your extension, your October 15th. If you extend your tax return, you can recharacterize it up until October 15th of 2021. So I would suggest you go to your custodian, tell them you want to recharacterize that, and tell them you've extended your tax return, and therefore they should allow you to do it. But just make sure that you clarify it with them. But we do this all the time. We do tax returns, and somebody had already done Roth, and we say, wait a minute, if they did traditional IRA, we would have gotten a lot more stimulus money, or we would have gotten this, or we would have gotten that. And we recharacterize. And we've done it at least three times this year that I know of so far. So it can be done, my friend.
Okay. Can it be done in a day? Can I call up and have them recharacterize it? It sounds like it's a bigger process than that, and that's why I have to.
Every custodian's a little different. Okay. I don't know what they're going to ask for you from you, so call them up. Okay. What's your custodian?
Ameritrade.
Oh, okay, TD Ameritrade. Well, we use TD Ameritrade, but if Michelle were here, she would tell you. But okay. Michelle's not here, okay. So we can't tell you.
Okay, thanks so much.
All right, Jillian, take okay. care.
Bye-bye.
Mikey, I think we're out of time.
We're out of time. We had Rich in Gardenville waiting quite a while for us, so I'm going to take his call myself after we leave.
All right, you take it. And if you need any help, just give me a call. Let me know. All right, Mikey, it's always good to be with you. The luck of the Irish, you know. You get that O'Shea guy.
I could have used a little bit more of the luck of the Irish at the beginning of the show. When
you know, you get that
help.
O'Shea guy, you know. I don't know. We're going to have to see. Anyway, this is Drew Tignanelli saying God bless. What I'd like to do is